And here's what I thought. The Lord gave me this vision of a wailing wall in the children's church where every Sunday kids can put their little prayer requests in that wailing wall that is going to be a type of the wailing wall, the Western Wall in Jerusalem, where they come to pray and put their prayer requests in the crevices and they pray before the Western Wall, the only pieces left of the temple. And I thought that would be a great way to teach our kids. So, you know, if you give a particular gift, what we'll do is we'll, on one of the stones, we'll write your name, and we'll scribe your name in there as having created this wailing wall for our children so they know how to pray. So that's going to be kind of exciting. So, all right, Pastor Troy, you got me going with all these things. I didn't want to talk about that, but you set me up. So now I have to get into the Word. All right, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 18. While you're turning there, this is Palm Sunday, John chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. Don't turn there. You go to Acts 26. But John 12 talks about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, making his entry into that great city. They were lined on the sides of the road. A donkey was leading Jesus, or actually carrying Jesus in. And they were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they were proclaiming him as their deliverer. Jesus was proclaiming himself as their king, as their king and as their Lord. They didn't quite see him that way. They wanted deliverance from the oppression of the Romans. And they thought that he would be the one that would do that. Jesus was trying to teach them that my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is within you. And, you know, I want to be the Lord of your hearts. I'm coming into your city to proclaim that I am your Savior, Redeemer. They kind of missed that, you know. But in Acts 26, verse 18, this is really the vision that we have of this entry. It said to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. You know, there's a turning, church, where you can turn from darkness to light, but there has to be a turning from darkness to light, from the powers of Satan to God. So there's obviously two different venues of life, darkness and Satan, or light and God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So it is the mission of redemption. Now, mission of redemption. Now, in Genesis 3:5, I shared a couple of weeks ago that the devil came to Adam and Eve in the garden. And I want you to get this in your mind. God said you can eat of all the trees of the garden except for the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat, because if you eat it in that day, you will surely die. Well, the devil came to Adam and Eve and said, look, God knows in verse 5 of Genesis 3 that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, leave that scripture there for a moment. Here's the deception, that you, if you eat of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be open and you'll see the way God sees. However, they already were like God, and they were already seeing the way God sees. In essence, when they partook of the knowledge of the good, a tree of good and evil, their eyes were opened, the natural eye, the eye that relies on senses, knowledge, and experience, and their spiritual eyes grew dim. In other words, they no longer were able to see the way God sees. And I shared with you a little bit about that last week. Let me give you a couple of definitions again. The way God sees is a Hebrew word, raha. And raha is a very introspective word. It means to see through perception and discern through intention. In other words, to look into something. To look into something. Now, when God saw the light and said that it was good, God raha the light. The word raha is real important. He looked into the light and then he called it day, separating evening from morning. The way God looks into a thing is he sees that which is created, its intention and its purpose and its destiny. And he's able to look into it and identify it and call it. Calling those things that are not as though they are. And when he speaks it, it's like a prophetic word releasing destiny. And light contained day. God looked into it, saw it, proclaimed it, and morning and evening were separated. So it's very powerful the way God sees. However, sin causes us to lose the perception of God. We don't see life the way God sees life. We see it with yada. Yada is another Hebrew word, and it means to see by observation, to gain knowledge through experience, to look at. To look at. That's why in our lives, it's real easy to be deceived when we look at something and it appears to be other than what it truly is. We can wear masks on Sunday and it appears that we're okay. But unless we look into that person, we will never see their purpose or their intent. Now, this young lady, God gave me, and it's an amazing gift, he allowed me to raha her as I was drawn to her that night and spoke to her about daughter. God gave me a word about how your father in earth hasn't called you daughter, but your father in heaven has. And I was seeing in her what she really was, a daughter of God. When I spoke it, it confirmed in her that she had value and worth. I didn't look at her, I looked into her. That's a gift that comes from God. It is how you and I are to do life. That's why we can't judge people by the surface. We can't categorize people, stereotype people. We can't put people in groups. Well, yeah, they're from that part of town. That doesn't matter. You're looking at them. Well, this is what they've always done. This is how they talk. This is what they do. This is how they dress. You're looking at them. But if you learn how to raha, look into them, you will begin to see God's purpose, destiny, and intention for their life. When you see it and you say it, it becomes a prophetic word. It becomes the spirit of prophecy that will come to pass in that person's life. When Jeremiah led those 1,500 students into a declaration of I can be what God calls me to be and etc., etc., what he was doing is he was getting them to come in agreement with what he saw by the Spirit for their life. And it's so important that we as a generation have the eyes of our understanding opened. Now look at Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. That was my little introduction. That took 7 minutes, so I got to roll on. Okay, let's read it together. Ready? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, please read it together. All right, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. Now hold that right there for a minute. That God would give to you and me the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. Hold on to that. Spirit of wisdom and what? Spirit of revelation. A couple of weeks ago, I said, wherever you turn your soul toward, you will reflect. If you turn your soul towards the world, the flesh, the devil, you focus on that, your soul will begin to reflect that. Now, I said, if you turn your soul to the Word, you're going to begin to focus and you're going to reflect the Word of God. Here's Paul saying this great apostolic prayer for the church, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. How does the spirit of wisdom and revelation come? Read the next part of the verse. In the knowledge of him. Say it with me again. In the knowledge of him. So we see that the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes in the knowledge of him. So as I gain knowledge of Him, the Word made flesh, I read the Word, Spirit and life, I reflect it into my soul, it purifies my soul. That's what 1 John 3, 1-3 said. So I'm being purified, I'm being sanctified, but I'm also gaining what? Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation. But it comes as a result of the Word of God. So as I have a steady diet of the Word of God, I am gaining wisdom and revelation. That's important because I have to live life now, not through the lens of Yada, but I have to live life now through the lens of Raha. I want to see life like God sees it. I want to see people the way God sees them. I don't want to send anybody to hell for cutting me off on the highway. God would never send a person to hell for cutting them off, him off on the highway. Come on. So I'm not going to observe them by observation and knowledge and experience. I'm not going to look at them. I'm going to look into them. Go back to verse 18 of Ephesians 1. Verse 18 said that the eyes, let's read it together. Come on. That the eyes So spirit of wisdom and knowledge, spirit of wisdom and revelation come as a result of the knowledge of Him. Watch. Paul said, this is how it happens. So, or as a result, or the end definition will be that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. So wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him open our raha. It opens our raha. Spirit of wisdom, revelation, opens our raha, our ability to see into a thing, not just at a thing. If you look at a thing, you may prejudge it and define it incorrectly. You may be a loser all your life, come to a church, and church members look at you, never look into you, because they've not turned their soul to the Word. Their soul, church members, they're in church, but their soul has been turned to the world. So they're not really getting spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So the eyes of their understanding is not open. It's not enlightened. Paul said, I pray that the church, this is a great apostolic prayer for the church, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Why? So that we would know. Look at somebody and say, you need to know. Know what? What is the hope of His calling? What's the expectation of His calling? What are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints? Now, perception based upon focus is either going to be gained by gazing upon His Word or upon this world. So the enemy wants to limit you and me, even though we're saved. He wants us to live blindly to kingdom. Raha opens you up to kingdom. So in other words, when you're challenged to be competitive with somebody and win up on them, you won't see the value into that situation of being humble and letting them go first. Because the Bible said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. In other words, the way up in the kingdom is down. We understand now, I see Raha, I see it the way God sees it. I'm not going to try to force my way into this, because I know all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. I'm at great rest and peace in this situation here. I don't have to make anything work. I don't have to be vengeful. I don't have to try to get back, pay retribution to you for what you did for me. All I've got to do is what Jesus did, entrust myself to my Father in heaven, who I know judges righteously, because I see this situation the way God sees it. But if all you do is yada it, the devil will wear you out with bitterness, anger, resentment, hate, all in the name of God. You'll be a Christian and you go, yeah, I know, but we're human and we've got rights, and just damn them people. It's like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You're trying to do life by seeing. You're blind. As your understanding need to be open. Go to Matthew 13, look at verse 13. That took another 7 minutes. We're going to do 7-minute mini sermons this morning. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see. Jesus said, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they don't see. They're trying to see the parable through experience and knowledge. They're not seeing the intent and the purpose of the parable. Jesus messed with people. I mean, he would give them these parables, and they'd be like, what? What are you trying to say? He said, because I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see. But if you're seeing and the eyes of your understanding are enlightened through the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, because you have focused on the Word of God in the knowledge of Him, spirit of wisdom, revelation is operating. The eyes of your understanding are open. You're seeing the way God sees. When He speaks a parable, you look into it and you go, got it. Hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Verse 14. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Continue. For the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I would heal them. Woo! I'm ready to jump around a little bit. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Here's my question. Are you seeing?
Yes.
Are you hearing?
Yes.
For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Do you realize the time that we live in? We are living in a time when our understanding has been enlightened, the eyes, the perception of our understanding. Our spirit is perceiving life the way God lives life. Jesus said, I've come to give it to you abundantly, life, and that more abundantly, the way God has it. I want you to see life the way God sees it. It changes your whole perspective. Look at Luke 8 and verse 10. Luke 8 and verse 10, and he said, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. How many know that the kingdom is mysterious? If you don't have perception like God has it, it won't make any sense to you. It's like reading your Bible without the Holy Spirit. You're like, what does this mean? Right? But when the Holy Spirit comes, He guides you and He gives you understanding. It's like, wow, I'm starting to get this, man. This is awesome. Well, the point is that you're getting revelation and wisdom as a result of the knowledge of Him, and the eyes of your understanding are being opened, and you're beginning to understand mysteries. Did you know prophets and kings of old longed to know what you and I can know? Looking into the kingdom and going, wow, I see the kingdom of God. To you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to the rest it's been given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing, they may not hear. Now, I want to make a statement here, and I want you to write it down or take a picture of it. I want you to send it to somebody that you might think needs it. Are you ready? Maybe sometime you have to send it to yourself. I have two email accounts. You know what I do? Sometime I send myself a message. I do. I send myself a message. Okay, Lou, this is what the Word said. Get it. And then I click, send, and it comes to me on my other email. I'm like, oh, I just sent myself a message. Read it with me. Ready? Many have made a one-time trip to the altar, but few have stayed long enough to hear his secrets. One-time trip. Yeah, I got saved. When? 25 years ago. How long were you at the altar? I must have been there 3-4 minutes. Ah, darn it, they made me late for my dinner because I had to fill out a decision form. It's not the act of coming forward. The altar speaks of intimacy. The altar speaks of knowledge of God, knowledge of who He is, so that our revelation and wisdom can come, so the eyes of understanding can be opened. And we have a generation of Christians that make a one-time trip to the altar and have never stayed long enough, according to Psalm 25 and 11, that we might know His secrets. God desires to share His secrets of the kingdom with those who have desire to know them. God will not withhold anything from any of us. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, God will feed you. God will give you drink. If you want Him, He will reveal Himself to you. If you want God this morning, He will reveal Himself powerfully to you. But you and I have got to stay long enough to receive it from the Lord. I'm not going to jump around. Come on. Not going to jump around. I realize that the 1 Corinthians 7:31 said the form of this world's passing away. Watch. What we see is passing away. What we see is passing away. How many agree with that? Okay, if you're yah-dying through life, all you see is going to pass away. So you're spending all your time trying to figure out what's not going to remain. And it's changing all the time. How many know when you think you've got somebody figured out and you're yah-dying them, then all of a sudden next week it's like, what's up? You're different. You changed. It's like trying to figure out a politician what they believe. Come on. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen. While we do not look at the things which are seen. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Yada focuses on what is temporary. Yada focuses on what you can see. Naturally. So if I look at my bank account and I see 0.00, that's temporary. Why? Because I'm a kingdom man. And I know that my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't know how 0.00 is going to change, but somehow, some way, God said, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I'm not sure how God's about to do this, but I know one thing. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. I see money in my account. You say, you are crazy. If I look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary. Watch this. But the things that are not seen are eternal. Can you imagine being a Christian, yah-dying through life, only looking at the temporary, dying, go to heaven, walk into eternity and go, what do I do now? Because you never introduced yourself to the eternal. You'll be like shocked. Because in the kingdom of God, in heaven, His word is eternal. But it's eternal on the earth. His word isn't like temporary here. It's the eternal word of God. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? He just, I change not. So the eyes of our understanding means we now have the capacity to see things unseen. That's the whole story of Abraham. Romans chapter 4, calling those things that are not as though they were. He saw what God's purpose and intent sees. Oh, Lord. Okay, I got to finish with this. That was another 7-minute mini sermon. Now I have 7 more to go, and then we're going to go home. All right, you ready? Revelation 3. Now remember I said Jesus came into Jerusalem that day to announce himself as king. He came into their lives. However, how long did Jesus remain as king in the citizens of Jerusalem? About 1 week. Sunday, Palm Sunday, celebrated. By Friday, count up them! Didn't take long. He was in, they were shouting, they were celebrating, he was out. And I'm going to contend, because we do a one-tank trip to the altar and never return and learn the secrets of God, because we're more focused on the world than we are the Word, we don't have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of our understanding has become darkened. We don't see the way God sees. We're ruled by what circumstances and our emotions and the conclusions that are logical. How many know that the kingdom is not logical? But we live our whole Christian life that way, and then we get mad at God when it doesn't work. Revelation 3, verse 13, who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Hold the scripture right there. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is talking to them? They said that you could be rich, you could have white garments, that you could be clothed, and because you're naked, and I don't want your nakedness to be revealed, all you got to do is anoint your eyes with eye salve that you could see. Now, this is the church of Laodicea. Many prophetic teachers teach that this is the age in which we are in. This is the church age now. This is the mentality of the people you go to church with and you hear preach. We're all guilty of this. Don't think that all of us in here are like angelic. Some of us are a lot of us are only used to one-tank trips. Went to the altar 25 years ago, bless God, I got saved, and when I die, I'm going to heaven. Well, why would you miss God every moment of your life? See? Now watch. Next verse. Verse 19. Is there a next verse? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Repent of what? Repent of you not seeing. Why would he offer them eye salve if their eyes or their seeing didn't need to be healed? Isn't it interesting that in the garden, when Adam and Eve took of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, and the eyes of their understanding was darkened, and they now saw with Yada, they looked down and went, whoops, we're naked. And they covered themselves. Jesus said the same thing here in Revelation 3. I don't want your nakedness to be revealed. I want you to be covered. I want the glory, my glory, to cover you. There, he was speaking to their distorted view they had of their own spiritual condition. Now, the scripture says we have need of nothing. Can you go back to that? I can forget what verse it is. They were saying they're rich. Can you get to that verse? That they are rich. I can't remember all that it says off the top of my mind. Right before verse 17. It's like 16, 15, 14. I'm not real sure. Is it there? Yeah. Go back to 16. Let's see what 16 says. Oh, we don't want that one. Go to verse 15. That one's scary. I don't like that one. You know, sometimes you got to do that. You see something in the Bible, you go, whoops, change the page, man. I don't want to read that one. Okay, here it goes. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because you're lukewarm, neither cold or hot, you can read it. Verse 6, 17. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and I don't have need of anything. You do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And then we begin reading verse 18 where he says, I counsel you to buy from me. Their self-confidence and false security created a dulling or a blindness of their spiritual eyes. You hear what I'm saying? Okay. Their conclusions were based upon what they beheld. Their conclusions that they were okay was determined or defined by what they beheld. What were they beholding? The world. I've got money, I've got gold, I've got garments, I've got everything I need. I got my house, I got my 401k. Everything is cool, I got it. And Jesus said, you don't have it because what you're looking at, you're not seeing through the lens of eternity. You're looking through the lens of temporary life. Put on the lens of eternity and turn your focus to the Word of God. Get the knowledge of Him in you and the spirit of revelation and knowledge. And what's going to happen? As a result, you are now going to have eyes of understanding. Your eyes are going to open. You're going to begin seeing me. You're going to begin seeing the kingdom. Now, this is probably the most difficult part of this scripture. Tragically, this resulted in their inability to discern the Lord's presence. Church, please hear me in the last few minutes we have. This focus, this conclusion of life resulted in the inability to discern the Lord's presence. Meaning, you could go to church and Jesus not be there and you still think it's okay. They had no more discernment as to whether or not Jesus was there. That's the end product of you dying through life. Instead of getting the perception the way God sees life through the Word, is you become so dull in seeing and hearing that you don't know whether God's there or not. So here's what we do. We convince ourselves, as long as our programs in church are working, we're okay. As long as people are coming, the choir is singing, the people are giving, and chicken dinners once a quarter, we'd be all right. So they judge now the presence of God based on performance. Based on, let's get this party started. Whoop, whoop. And we whoop, whoop in church, get all excited, hallelujah. Emotional, shout, traditional, yeah, we want to fulfill all the traditions because they didn't notice His absence because their programs were working so well. They're too consumed with their focus on life to notice His kingdom is not of this world. Okay, go now, 3:19. You probably already put 3:19 up there, Revelation 3:19, but do it again. Now, verse 20. Read this with me, please. Ready? Read. Behold. Who is Jesus speaking to? Unsaved people? Church of Laodicea. So where'd Jesus end up? Ha! There you are! On the outside, knocking, do you even know I'm not in there? Anybody? So he stands at the door and he's crying out, "Let me in." The knocking is an appeal to those who are on the inside doing life without his presence because they've learned the routines of the church, programs, tradition, and as a result, he's on the outside. I remember this picture, if you could put it back up, it's the craziest picture. When I look at that, it takes me back to when I was like 10, 12 years old. It was on my bedroom wall. I don't know how it got there. I wasn't even saved. I don't know, my mom put it up there or something. I'm like, I don't know, who's that? Who's that? Well, that's Jesus. He's knocking on the door of your heart, and he wants to come in. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Jesus, come on in. That's not the door of your heart. That's the door of the church. While applicable to the door of a person's heart to be saved, yes, but contextually, that's not where it's placed. Contextually, it's the Laodicean church in the last day whose eyes have been darkened, whose hearing has become deaf, and who are doing life without him. He's on the outside. It's just like Palm Sunday. Here comes Jesus, Hosanna, Hosanna! And 5 days later, they want to crucify the dude. We come to Christ, yes, Lord, be my Savior, be my Savior. 5 days later, he's on the outside saying, let me in. Go ahead, dude. Listen to the words of this song.
And when you walk into the room and everything changes and darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring, and when you walk into the room and every heart starts burning and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
Everything changes. Hagar, Ishmael, in the wilderness, dying of thirst, set the dude under a broom tree, walked away because she couldn't bear to watch her son die. Suddenly, he walked into the room. And you know what happened when he walked into the room? Her eyes were open, and guess what she saw? She saw a well where she could go and draw from and give to her dying son. When he walks into the room, everything changes. Why? Because we see the way God sees. Elisha's servant suddenly sees that there's more of us than there are of them. When all the chariots of fire were made visible to him, when God walks into the room. Oh, I could go on and on. But let me tell you this one. Caleb, we could take the land, for it is just as God promised. Because his eyes were open. And you know what the rest of them said? We are but like grasshoppers. In our sight and in theirs. Because they didn't see him, they couldn't really see themselves as who they are in him. Come on, you've got to invite Jesus into your house, your home, your marriage, your money, your relationships. I mean, just to say, Jesus, walk into my room. Because I know when you do, everything will change. Sing it again, Jess. Come on. Let's bless the Lord. Let's worship him.
Walk into the room and sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation, it ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room and the dead begin to rise, cause there is resurrection life in all you do.
Right now, I'm going to pray. It's an unusual prayer for a Sunday church service, but the Holy Spirit put on my heart that we need to be baptized today. Oh, no, 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 not in water. Oh, not even the fire or Holy Spirit. Here's what Jesus told me this morning. He said, I want to baptize my people in love. I said, whoa, in love? He said, yeah. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, thus fulfill all the law and the prophets. So right now, if you would with me, just posture yourself to receive. Father, I thank you that you are the baptizer. The Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our heart the love of God. And I'm praying now for a baptism of love upon the house of God. Lord, we need to love like Jesus loved. We need to love you with everything, God. And today, we thank you that we can repent. We can repent by doing life, Father God, the way this world does life. We're not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. We thank you, Lord, today. Holy Spirit, open the eyes of our understanding and the great Paul. apostolic prayer, Paul, that through the knowledge of him, revelation and wisdom would come. And Lord, right now we thank you that we operate in that. And Father, we know that it operates under the banner of love, under the banner of love, under the banner of love. So let us love God with all our heart, soul, might, and strength. Let us love one another even as we love ourselves. Come, Holy Spirit, and baptize us in love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to just offer today prayer for you. Maybe you're like that young lady that feels like nobody wants you here. That's a lie. That's a lie. God wants you. God loves you. More than that, we love you. And listen, today you can find a relationship with him. It's through faith in Christ. It's awesome. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, save me. Just cry out. Say, Jesus, save me. And he'll save you. He'll come to you and flood your heart with the greatest love you've never experienced before. He'll open the eyes of your understanding. To some of us as believers who haven't been to the altar for a long time, I'm talking about intimacy, to develop intimacy. One of these days, if I get a chance between now and heaven, I'm going to preach on John 14, 15, and 16. It's all about intimacy with the Holy Spirit. John chapter 5, all about intimacy with the vine. That's all. It's all about intimacy, oneness and intimacy with God, cultivated through the relationship you have of the Holy Spirit. He said, if my words abide in you and you abide in me. I mean, it's powerful. It's the abiding of God. God wants to abide in us. He wants to become intimate with us. So today, let's make a new confirmation of our faith and say, God, you know what? You baptized me in love. Now I'm going to love you with everything. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. Come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. It's not about legalism. It's about connection. We need to learn how to connect with God. Right? So today, if you're not connected, you say, what do I need to do? Simple. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. You can be saved. You can go to heaven. Isn't that awesome? But heaven can come to you as well. You don't have to wait to get to heaven. You can experience God's glory right now. Right now. Even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of difficulty. Sometimes you have weakness and sickness, but you know what? I may not have the strength that I used to have, or I may not have the money that I think I need, but you know what I do have? What I do have can't be taken from me. I have the abiding presence of God and the assurance and the guarantee of the Holy Spirit that if I were to die today, sweet pea, listen, don't you weep for me. Because I'll be on the other side shouting glory, glory. I'll be in the presence of a living God. I have my name written down in the Lamb's book of life. Isn't that good news? So altar ministers, would you join me right and left? Oh, it's quarter till, Tina. Altar ministers, come. You need prayer today. And ushers, would you get ready, by the way? We need to receive a love gift offering for the poor in our ministry and for those that have needs and assistance, so we can get bags there at the door. I'm going to ask you to just give a couple dollars each, $5, whatever you can. This goes to benevolence, people in our ministry who are in a tough place, who need a helping hand. I think it's worthy to give a few bucks, and maybe don't get the Burger King after church and give it to Jesus. That'll be awesome. But let's just bless the house of God. But if you need prayer, give your life to Jesus. Would you come? Before you go that way, come this way. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. Don't forget Thursday night, 7 o'clock. It's great to be together with the family. Introduce yourself to somebody this morning that you don't know. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Bring family and friends. Resurrection Sunday. We'll see you then. Bye-bye. God bless you.